This time we're asking you to please get your Bibles and let us turn to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, Colossians the third chapter, as we hear from heaven and see what God has for our hearts today. And as I often say, and I'm going to say it again today, we don't want to be hearers only, but we want to be doers. We want to be obedient to God's word. Colossians chapter 3, reading verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We thank God for the reading of that second verse. The Lord has placed on my heart to share with you this morning from this subject. A new way of thinking. A new way of thinking. As we look at that verse, it says, set your affection on things above. Set your mind means to think about it. Think about it. Set your minds on something, that means you're going to think about it. And when you think about certain things, it helps you determine your goals and guide you in what you're going to do, your course of actions. You know, people think about, well, unfortunately, the criminal thinks about how he's going to rob a place. And sometimes he'll go and observe it, watch the going and the coming, study it to see when there's a busy time and then there's a slack time. And then he studies about how he's going to go in and do what he does and his getaway route. So he set his mind on robbing a place. And because he has set his mind on that, he carries it out. So what we need to see, what God wants us to do, that when we set our minds on something to think about it, and knowing that it's going to help determine our goals and it's going to guide us in the actions that we take, God wants us to think about things above. Let's look at verse 1. Hopefully this will help us see God's plan. It says, if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If ye be risen, if you have been raised from the dead, spiritual dead, if you have been born again, remember the scripture said that we're crucified with him and we're resurrected with him. So if you have been risen with Christ, if you're claiming that you're saved, if your testimony is that I'm on my way to heaven, that heaven is my home, then if that is your conviction, the Bible says you need to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. What things he talking about? Things above is the truth of God's word. We know God's word is true. We know God wrote the Bible. He used holy men to serve as secretaries, I like to call it, and they wrote what God inspired them to do. But this is holy word, 100% truth, because it's God breathed. And everything in this Bible It's truth, and it's going to come to pass just like God said it. So what God wants us to know, that if we are risen, if you are saved, then you need to think about things above. Let's look at Ephesians, the second chapter, as we'll see what, again, the Word of God is telling us. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, "And you have he quickened," that means made alive, quickened, made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sin." Every one of us born into this world, we were born dead in sin. And we were born dead in sin because of the transgressions of Adam and Eve. They brought sin into the world, into the human race. So every one of us, that as we were coming to this world, we were born alive physically, but we were dead spiritually. Spiritually, we were dead on arrival. So the Word of God says that you were dead. I'm talking to the folks now who are risen. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Two, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the way people who are saved now used to live. Amen. We were under the authority of the prince of the power of the air, who is the devil. We did things that we knew were wrong to do because we had no power to resist the devil, because we were under his authority. But I thank God for Jesus. I thank God that he's a loving father. Let's look at verse 6. Verse 6 in that same passage. He says, the Word of God says, there's a 5. "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved." Verse 4 said, "But God, who is rich in mercy, and his great love wherein he loved us." You know, God loved us. John 3:16 tells us that he loved us, and he sent his son into the world. His son came to die for our sins. His son came to make a way. As we were just singing, he is the way, the truth, and the life. God loved. It's not God's will that any should perish. God has a place of punishment, but it's not his desire to send you there. God has made a way so you can go and be with him in his kingdom. So, but verse 6, it says, "And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Because of Jesus, we are children of God. Because of redemptive work that Jesus did on the cross. When Jesus came to this world and he was crucified not because of his sins. He was put to death because of our sins. Because the Bible declares that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And we were sinners and we had a debt that we couldn't pay, because what was required was we had to die to pay our sin debts. And if we, that wouldn't have worked, because born a sinner and you give your life to pay your sin debt, you would have died a sinner. But thank God in his love and God's mercy, God sent a substitute. God sent his only begotten son. His son had the power to die and to take his life up again. His son had the authority from God to be the sacrificial offering, the sacrificial lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But it cost Jesus his life for us to be sitting here today and say, "I'm a child of the God, that God is my Father, amen, and I'm on my way to heaven." It's because of the Jesus and what he's done for us. Oh, I thank God, saints, that we are risen. We are now in heavenly places. As we know that once God saves us, we have eternal life. We have eternal life right now. If you save, you have eternal life, because God, the Bible teaches us that the Father and the Son comes to live in us. And if they are living in us, Jesus is the life giver. And it's not when he comes back on the clouds of glory When Jesus comes on the clouds of glory, if you're not saved, it's too late. You need to be ready for his coming. He's coming again because he said he would. He said he was going away, but he's going to come again. And I thank God that when he comes, he's coming back to get his people. Jesus is coming back to separate all those who do not believe in Jesus. They will not go to heaven. But all the believers, all those who are born again, all those who have been risen, we will go back with Jesus to spend eternity in kingdom of God. Thank God. But see, Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he's there as an intercessor. Amen. When we pray, our prayers get through. Amen. Because Jesus died for us. And he loves us. So we've been risen with Christ. And we are now raised and we are sitting in heavenly places. Let's go back to Colossians, the third chapter. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3. Because we want to look at another portion of this. Verse 3 this time. So, it says, verse 3 says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We're dead, but we're breathing. We have activity in our limbs. Amen. Yes, physically. But Jesus is talking about in this physical life, we're dead to sin. We're alive, but we're dead to sin. Remember, we were born sinners, but Jesus came to resurrect us. He came to give us the newness of life. So if we are dead to sin, that means we don't sin anymore. All right, let's look at the word. Let's go to the word. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I thank God for the word. The word of God makes it plain to us. Galatians chapter 5. Listen what the word of God says as he's referencing us being dead to sin. Verse 24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. They that are Christ, they that have been born again, those whose names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, those who are testifying that I have the Spirit of God abiding in me, those who are testifying that I'm a Christian, it says, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Well, what God's telling us here, the way I used to be, I'm not that way anymore. The lust and affliction that I had as a son of man, amen, those things do not control me anymore. See, when you're in sin, there are things that you do in this life that is contrary to what God wants us to do. And when what that equates to is disobedience. And this disobedience is always a sin. But here the word of God is letting us know that we have been crucified. In other words, he put to death. He made us a new creature. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And this is the key. All things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. What old things? All your clubbing days. All your drinking days. Amen. All your lying days. Man, so those are old things. Those are things that children of God are not supposed to do. Amen. All your hating days. All your envying days, all the days where you won't forgive people. You know, I've heard people say, I'll never forgive them. But they don't understand there's a danger in saying you will never forgive a person, because if you don't forgive people, God won't forgive you. And we can't afford for God not to forgive us, because if we are not forgiven, that means we're going to have to answer to God for our sins. We're going to have to pay that penalty that God has for those who do not know him and depart from sin. So all your days of living a sinful life, all those days where you were thinking about, oh, the weekend is coming. Oh, and we're going to party the Friday night. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. All those days are gone. Amen. Because there's been a change. And the change was made by Jesus. It wasn't a change that we made. Amen. Because we didn't have power to change ourselves and cause us to live right. We needed a greater power. We needed the Holy Ghost. We needed the Spirit of God in us in order for us to change. We're not renovated. We are brand new. Amen. See, when you renovate some things that did do some cosmetic work that make the outside and all look good, but behind the walls and under there are the problems, and they don't touch that, but they make it look good. Well, no, God didn't do that. He didn't renovate us. He made us a new creature. We have been created in His image, and the Holy Ghost lives in us. And because the Holy Ghost lives in us, it causes us to live a different life. We live right here in Jacksonville where we were born all our lives, right here in Jacksonville. And we did a whole lot of sin right here. But one day we heard the gospel. One day the word of God took root in our hearts. One day God opened our understanding. One day God brought us to Him, and God caused us to come crying and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm a sinner, and I want to go to heaven. But if you want to go to heaven, as the song says, you got to live right. And how do you live right? By doing what God says. Oh, I thank God for the word, saints. Thank God for the word. Let's look at Romans, the 8th chapter. Romans chapter 8. There's another passage in here that I think should be just so helpful to us. Romans chapter 8. And as we look at that, I want us to look at verse 10. Listen to what the word of God said. Verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10 reads, listen, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. If you are saved, if you have the Holy Spirit, when God saves us, the Bible says the Father and the Son comes to take their abode in us. They live in us. How long will they live? He said He will be with us always, even to the end of the world. And when He lives in us, He said He would never leave us. He would never forsake us. He will be with us always. When God saves us, we are never without Him. He lives in us. God lives in us. So if Christ be in you, if you've been risen with Christ, if you've been born again, if you're a child of God, the Bible said the body is dead because of sin. That sin man was put to death. And we were raised to a newness of life. We are now children of God. But Christ has to be in you. If Christ is not in you, you're yet dead in sin. But when Christ is in you, we're dead to sin. We don't live a life of sin anymore. And it's all right. Listen what it says. So if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Bible says we are steps directed by God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Amen. It's not what I want, it's what God wants. Amen. And the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Our thoughts change. Where we thought about going to the club, now we want to go to church. Where we thought about reading books that were not good, amen, then now we want to read the Bible. Or we want to read books written by Christians that will build us up and encourage us and keep us focused on things above. Amen. See, we need to be very mindful. And everything that comes on the television, you can't look at it. Every book, bestseller coming out, you can't read it. Because a lot of these things are written by folks who don't know God. And they are trying to, and these books will influence you. Remember now, when you see something, you know it's hard to get it out of your mind. So we can't sit there and talk about I'm holy. If you're holy, you better turn it off. If it's not going to build you up so you can praise God, if it's something that is going to cause you to doubt God's ability and power, it's not going to cause you to lift up holy hands and say, God, I thank you for your goodness. You need to leave it alone. Amen. Amen. You need to leave it alone because you got to be mindful of what we feed our spirit. Can't put everything in here. Amen. It just lingers. It comes up again. And that's why we have the power to resist it. Can I get an amen? Because the Bible says, God says to resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. So that's why God wants us to think on things above. Think on things above. So how we do that? How are we going to set our mind on things above? I have a few suggestions. Number one, we need to read. We need to meditate. We need to memorize scripture. Read it. Meditate on it. Think about it. What is God saying to me? Think about it. Put it in your spirit. Then memorize it. So that when the devil come against you and you're not in church and you don't have your Bible, you can say like David, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we need to put it to memory. I mean, when you put it to memory, when the devil corners you, the Holy Ghost will bring to your mind just what to do. And then we need to obey it. We got to obey it. We got to obey scripture. Amen. You know, reading it and hearing and not obeying is no blessing. Blessings come when you do what God says. And if you don't do it, it's a sin. And sin will keep you out of heaven. So we got to be like David. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, sometimes you're in places where folks are just unholy, saying any everything, acting any kind of way. And you can be there and because you're like a captive audience. But you don't have to pay attention to them. You can hear them and not hear them. You ever done that? Amen. In other words, you hear it, but you're not paying attention to it. You're not going to receive it. And that's a good time to have scripture in your heart. You can sit there and all this confusion around you, you can be reciting God's word in the midst of the storm. And God will bring peace to you. Can I get an amen? There's power in God's word. Amen. So this is why it's important. It's important for us to spend time in the word. Not just Sunday morning, but every day you need to spend. If somebody told you you couldn't eat until a physical meal until Sunday morning, you'll be upset. But that's what people do to God. They don't read the Bible and they don't read it on Sunday. The only time they hear it read is when the preacher reads it from the Bible. Oh, Bible tells us man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. We need to feed the spiritual man. We feed the material, the natural man, but that spiritual man needs to be fed, and he is fed through the word of God. Oh, I thank God. So, set our minds on things above. And no greater way than I know than to spend time in God's word. Look at the promises of God. To show the Bible teaches us the love of God. The Bible teaches us how merciful God is. Oh, the Bible let us see how forgiving God is. And oh, the word of God help us to see that when we were God's enemies, yet Jesus died for us. We can see in the word of God where even though we've been serving the devil, but if we will turn to Jesus and acknowledge our sin, God will forgive us and save us. Oh, saints, you need to get in the word of God. Keep your mind on things above. That's the next thing we need to do as we keep our minds on things above. come to church. Come to church. And some folks don't think there's a value in coming to church, but it is. When you go to a church where they preach the word, when they get the Bible, and it's not what comes to their head, it's what God has told us to do. And they share and open God's word to you. See, when you come to church, that's sometimes for folks who've been reading the Bible, and they'll read something and they don't understand it. But when you come to church, what God does, sometimes you hear say, there's a detour. God has given somebody an answer to something that they didn't understand. See, God has value in us coming to church. You know, when Jesus went from place to place, do you know he went to the synagogue? Jesus went to church. And we need to come to church. You know, we put everything at a higher priority and want God to understand. You know, get up sick and go to work. But you get up and your toe hurt, I can't go to church today. Oh, what a shame that is. God is the one that woke you up. God is the one that's given you ability to do your job. God is the one who's giving you the strength to go. We owe God our everything. Amen. You know, maybe if you bring your body to church, God will heal your toe. Can I get an amen? Oh, saints, I thank God. We got to think the things about. All right, let's see what the word is saying. Let you know I'm in the word. The 25th chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Listen to what the word of God says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Let me back at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is what we've done this morning. We have assembled in this place to praise God. When you come to church, God will encourage you. God will give you direction. God will give you comfort. God will strengthen you through his word. And just to come to church to see our fellow sisters and brothers, sometimes they have been out sick. And when they come to church, when they walk in the door, it's something about God who will lift their spirit. Sometimes they say, I feel better. Sometimes they come to church that wasn't feeling good. But when the word of God came, I left here feeling good. It's a blessing in coming to church if God says we need to do that. But exhorting one another, encouraging one another, lifting up one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is on his way back. Amen. Amen. The Bible teaches us that in the last days we'll be in perilous times. And we are in perilous times. Can't turn the news on. It's about breaking news, and it's bad news. Somebody's being shot. Amen. There's a hit and run. Amen. There's folks who go and just kill people they don't even know. Amen. Accidents on the highway. It's just bad news. And we need to be coming together and praising God and thanking God for helping us and thanking God for helping us to travel the same dangerous highway, but it's kept us from danger seen and unseen. We need to come to thank God for giving us life, health, and strength. Even though as I get old, my body aches with pain sometimes, but I thank God I yet have my right mind. It's a blessing to have a good mind, and God will keep your mind if you obey him and do what he says. Come to church. Usually, when it's time you make up your mind to come to church, something comes up. But you got to resist it. Amen. You know, you got to push through. You say, I'm going, even if I can get in there just before the benediction, you know God will bless you because you were determined to come to his house. Amen. Thank God. See, but what the devil likes to do when you don't come to church and you stay away a long time, then it's harder to come because folks are going to say, oh, we miss you, and you're afraid they're going to ask you, where have you been? And you don't have a good excuse. You don't want to say, I've been sitting up home. But you know what? If you're a child of God, you'll tell the truth. You say, I let the devil deceive me. Amen. And every Sunday something came up and I yield. But I'm here now. Y'all pray for me. See, when people ask you how you doing, we miss you, they're not trying to probe into your life. We are just glad to see you. You have been missed because you have not been coming to the house of God. So that's one thing about a small church. Amen. I know every member. I know every member. And when Sister Ellis is not there in that seat, I know she's missing. And the leads are not over there. I know they're missing. Man, and Sister Struthers is not over there. Brother Harvey, I know they're missing. See, in a small church, the pastor knows every member by name. In a big church, they can hide. Amen. He doesn't know you. Amen. It's your district leader and whatever else, and they don't know. But thank God that I know every member here. Amen. I know your name. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. And when you're not here, I know to pray for you. Say, Lord, help them, Lord. See, because there's sometimes folks there, I don't know what it is. They won't tell me. But you know what I do? I say, Lord, help them. Because you know everything. I don't have to know what it is, but Lord, help them. Evidently, there's a problem because they used to be faithful and they're not faithful. But God, help them. Do you know if we pray that? We don't have to know everything. Just God knows everything. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, help them. Amen, because the devil is a deceiver. So come to church. Don't let the devil deceive you. How are we going to keep our mind on things above? Seek God. That's what we got to do. Matthew, the sixth chapter. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'll let the Bible speak. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to verse 31. Verse 31 says, therefore, let me back up to 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? See, when you start doing that, you're thinking about these earthly things. You're not thinking about what God said. Because the word of God says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. So let's, 32nd verse. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. God knows that we need clothes and we need food and we need, God knows that. And he's already made provision for it. But he doesn't want us to be worried about it. Amen. He says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if God says that he will supply all our need according to his riches and glory, God is going to do that because he's a God of truth. Anything God promises, he will do. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen to the glory of God. Every promise of God is true. And it will be fulfilled. But this is what God wants us to do. As we set our minds on things above. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek him first. When you're a child of God, he's going to take care of his saints. God says the cattle upon 1,000 hills are his. All the gold, all the silver belong to him. And David said that he was once young, now he's old, but he's never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. Just live for the day and give God the glory, and God will make a way, because he promised he takes care of his children. Amen. And you don't have to see how it's coming. Just have faith. Amen. Seek him first. Not be worrying about clothes and food and other things. Don't be worried about that. God's going to make a way for you. Amen. He'll make a way. So you got to seek God. And then set your heart, your affection on things above. You got to love God and not the world. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, the second chapter. All right, I'm looking at verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Listen to God's word. Love not the world. Don't have your affections in the world and about worldly things. Neither the things that are in the world. Don't worry about what your neighbor's got. Don't let somebody tell you, you know, y'all Christian folks, you can't do anything, you can't go anywhere. I want you to tell them this. We might not be able to go some places, but there's one thing we can do, and that's live holy. That's what matters. That's what matters, you know. And another thing you need to keep in mind, because, see, the devil's children, they come up with some things. You need to keep in mind this. As you read the Bible and you find and you see what God says that we have to put off, stay away from, when you look at it closer, you're going to find out those very things that God says to put off, stay away from, are the very things that will cause you to go to the lake of fire. So I'm glad that God has left his word to let me know there's some things I can't do. And when God saves you, I don't want to do it. Because when we were sinners, we loved to do it. But when God saved us, he changed us. And we are glad that we don't live that way anymore. We don't go there anymore. We don't act that way anymore. We're not liars anymore. We're not profane anymore. Because when God saves us, he changes us. So God said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And listen why he says that. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. Amen. Can't straddle a fence. Amen. You got to make a decision. Amen. You're going to love God and obey him. Or if you're not loving him and obeying him, you're loving the devil and obeying him. Amen. So if any man love the world, the things that the world offers, all the evil activities, those things that don't bring glory to God. If you find pleasure in doing those things, you need to examine your salvation. Because if you do, if you love the world and the things that the world has to offer, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Think about that for a moment. What the world offers, and God wants us to stay away from, is the lust of the flesh. Do you know that Jesus faced these things that we face? All right. You remember after Jesus 40-day fast and the devil came to him? The devil told him, if he be the Son of God, just turn these stones into bread. You know what that was? Lust of the flesh. You hungry. You got to feed that body. So turn these stones into bread. All right? Jesus didn't do that. And this is what we need to hold on to. He fought the devil on every hand with the word of God. Then the next thing Jesus, the devil did with Jesus, he took him up in the kingdom. He took him up on the temple. I mean, he showed him all the world in its splendor and said that he could give it to Jesus. That's the lust of the eyes. See, there are things that's in this world we shouldn't want. They're not God glorifying. It's activities that the world participate in, and God says, come out from amongst them. Be separate. Amen. You got to walk the way God wants us to walk. And I tell you, it's a good life to do what God says. So he tempted Jesus with the lust of the flesh, turning the stone into bread, the lust of the eyes, I give you all this world and its splendor. And then the last thing, the pride of life. He tempted Jesus with that. He told Jesus that he would jump off the temple. Jump off it. And that'll prove that you're the Messiah. On every hand, Jesus fought him with the word of God. And that's why it's so important for us to have the word of God in our hearts. As I quoted earlier, as David did, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And look at verse 17 as I close. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. We have eternal life. Our salvation is eternal. And Jesus is coming back for us. And when he comes back for us, the saints, the people of God, we're going to have to meet him in the midair. Jesus will not come to the earth again. He's going to come on the clouds of glory. That's what the Bible says. And we're going to meet him in the midair. And then listen to the climax of what it says. And we will go away and forever be with the Lord. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be when we leave this old sin-cursed earth and go away to be with God forever and ever and ever in a place where there's joy and happiness and peace. No bad news. Everything is good news. No night there. No sun there. God is going to light his kingdom. They don't have to worry about securing the 12 gates into the city. They don't have to do anything that, oh, saints, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth, because Jesus is coming back for us and we want to be ready when he comes. We want to be found doing the things that he commands us to do. Amen. A new way of thinking. Will everyone please stand? God bless you. Perhaps there's someone who's not saved. You want to pray and ask God to have mercy on you. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. Ask God to come to live in your life and make you a new creature. He'll do that for us. He'll do that. Jesus died so that he could make you a new creature. And those of us who are saved, we know that the devil, as he tempted Jesus, he's going to tempt us. But we're going to have to do like Jesus. Fight him on every hand with the word of God. Because God has given us a commandment to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And God will protect us and give us victory. Faith is our victory. Heads are bowed. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for salvation. And because you saved us, we have a new way of thinking. We think about heavenly things. We think about things that are above. We think about you as our Heavenly Father. We think about Jesus who died for our sins. We think about you put us in this world to be a light that's shining in a dark world. We think about you tells us in your word that we are to be holy, for you are holy. Lord, we ask you to keep us with our minds stayed on you. Help us, Lord, to know that when we meditate on your word, we memorize your word, we obey your word, Lord, you will bless us. Father, we ask you to keep us during our hour of temptation. Help us to stand strong. Help us to stand on your word. Lord, we thank you. Father, we ask you to bless everyone who's here under the sound of my voice. If there's anyone who's sick, we ask you to touch them, Lord. Rebuke aches and pains and give them deliverance. And Lord, we ask you to keep us in your care. And we'll forever praise your holy name. Thank God. Amen and amen. God is a good God. God is worthy of all our praises. And we thank God that God tells us, is telling us this morning, let's keep our minds on Jesus. Keep our minds on things above. Amen. Because there's so much in the world that will come to try to destroy your thoughts. But thank God, there's power in God's word. God bless you this time, Sister Edwards.
Good afternoon. I'll take my stand here today. I have this baby. I would like to read you this beautiful card. It says, grateful and blessed. Says grateful. Well, first it says thank